Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the UBS Conversations podcast channel. For today, I am joined by Justin Waring, Senior Total Wealth Strategist, as well as Ainsley Carbone, Retirement Strategist from the UBS Chief Investment Office. Now, today we are commencing a new podcast series, Three Levels. The goal of this series is to tackle a single topic at three different levels of depth to help families understand the basics of investing and financial planning. The three levels of depth are definition, identification, and implementation. In today's episode, we will be focusing on risk. So with that, Ainsley, Justin, thank you both for joining our listeners, our clients here on UBS Conversations to commence this new podcast series, Three Levels. Looking forward to our broader conversations, though it's great to be with you both for today's inaugural episode. Welcome.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So let's begin by starting with level one, again, that being definition. So Justin, how do you define risk?
I think it's a really helpful place to start because when you think about risk, there are lots of different definitions, but at the heart of it is risk is failing to meet your goals. And so when we think about how to define failing to meet your goals and risk, it's helpful to run what we call a pre-mortem. So the first step is assume that you failed. Now you have to define what failure looks like. What is failure exactly? Second is identify the likely culprits. What are the variables that are going to cause you to fail and have that outcome? And then now that you've identified the likely culprit, you can now think about how to protect yourself against that risk. And then this is something you can do over and over again until you feel like you've addressed all of the known risks to your financial success. And so an example might be, I assume that I run out of savings in retirement. So what are the possible causes of that failure? Well, one cause is that I didn't save enough. Another cause might be that I lived longer than expected, or maybe I spent more than I thought. It's also possible maybe I couldn't work to support my savings goals because my skills weren't valuable or I suffered a disability. And so once we've identified these likely culprits, we can then take a look at managing those risks in a way that is either adjusting the investment portfolio, purchasing disability insurance, investing in my skills, things like that. So it's a healthy framework for us to identify risks that are specific to ourselves and to be creative about thinking about risks that you're not likely to hear about on TV, which is, you know, I think what a lot of people think about risk is what happens day to day in the stock market, for example. But that's not really the definition of risk in our view.
Okay, so for level two, again, that being identification, let's pivot over to Ainsley. So Ainsley, how do you identify risk in the context of helping families?
Well, when you hear the word risk when it comes to finances, just kind of like what Justin was just saying, people often think about market risks or risk as it relates to their investments. So with that in mind, there are definitely several types of risks that you could look at. There's interest rate risk, equity risk, credit risk, just to name a few. But these are the risks that can, let's say, impact the price of an investment and the possibility of losing money on an investment. So like I said, that's really where people like to focus for the most part. But if we go back to that definition of risk that Justin had mentioned, which is the risk of failing to meet your goals, when you take that approach, it's much easier to see that investment risk is not the only thing that might cause you to not meet your goals. There are other risks or non-market risks that can cause a lot of damage too. For instance, there's risk of income loss caused by disability or premature death. There's health risk, which is the risk and implications associated with illness or injury. There's longevity risk, which is the risk that you live so long that you run out of money. There's liability risk, property risk. Those are just a few of them. There's a whole lot more, but some will be much more relevant to other families. But it's just really important to keep in mind that when you're trying to identify and uncover risks in your own personal financial situation, try to avoid focusing just on investment risk alone and instead try to approach it just how Justin was saying with that pre-mortem. Try to approach it by saying, what is it that might keep me from meeting my goals? And by taking that approach, it'll just help you better understand all the different types of risks that you may be exposed to.
Okay, so now that we have defined and identified risk, Justin, let's now talk about implementation. Now, in practice, Justin, how can we measure and manage risk?
So in practice, let's break it down into the two types of risk that Ainsley just mentioned. There's market risks and non-market risks. So non-market risks are relatively easy to identify because you can evaluate. Let's think about your human capital is one of the main assets that you have. This is your ability to generate earnings in the future. So a risk to your human capital would be the risk of dying prematurely or being disabled or having skills that aren't going to get you compensation in the market. And so you can buy disability insurance to protect against the risk of being disabled. You can buy life insurance to help protect your family against the risk that you won't be around to make income to support the family. And you can invest in your own skills and education in order to protect against the risk that you will not be able to generate good compensation for your family. When it comes to that type of analysis, there, you know, a financial advisor or a financial planner can help you run an insurance gap analysis to specifically quantify those potential shortfalls and help you protect against those risks. When it comes to market risk, there are so many different definitions and measurements. The most common definition and measurement is volatility, which is a form of measuring uncertainty. How much is the return of this instrument likely to deviate from its average long-term return? There's also measurements like beta. So is this investment riskier than the market that I'm comparing it to? Drawdown risk, which is, you know, in a worst case scenario, how much could I lose from its all-time high? Value at risk, which is sort of when there are sell-offs, how large are those sell-offs likely to be? This is a measurement of tail risk. But there's also some other risk measurements that I think a lot of investors tend to overlook. One of them is opportunity cost. If you don't invest aggressively enough, you will not be able to get the growth in your portfolio that you could have had. And that's a permanent loss. Unlike a temporary drawdown, if you miss out on earnings because you didn't invest enough in stocks, that can create a permanent loss in your portfolio. There's also something that we like to call sequence of returns risk, or bear market damage is my phrase for it, which is the risk that you're withdrawing from your portfolio during a drawdown and then you're forced to lock in otherwise temporary losses, which then means that in the next market cycle, you won't have as much capital left to build growth and income for your spending needs. All of this wraps together into what we call a Monte Carlo probability of success analysis. So what we try to do to address market risk is we evaluate for your specific goals, given the possible many, many thousands of outcomes that could occur in the market, how likely is it that the sequence of market returns are going to lead to failure for your plan? And so this all gets wrapped up into a single number that I think is really helpful. And so in order to get that number, you really do need to have a deep conversation with your advisor about what your goals are, when you're planning to make, you know, have income, have spending come from the portfolio and things like that. And that's the beginning of a conversation about also addressing those risks so that you are able to boost your probability of success.
So building from that, let's continue with this focus on implementation. Ainsley, how does risk change throughout your life?
So if we're thinking about how risk changes throughout your life, it can kind of be helpful to first think about, okay, what are my goals in each phase of my life? So when you're in your working years, your primary goal is to earn money and make money and save money for your retirement years. So you're trying to accumulate wealth so you can save that money so you can meet your goals in the future. This means you need to, like Justin was saying earlier, you need to protect your human capital. Your earnings potential is the primary way that you're going to be able to save money. And so if you get sick or injured or you pass away prematurely, your family isn't going to be able to have that income. And so not only will you not be able to earn the income to meet your needs today, but it's also going to mean that you're not going to be able to save for your needs in the future. So the risk of income loss, the risk to your human capital, that's going to be a primary risk earlier in your working years. There's also, as you're thinking about your working years, what's going to happen in your life? Let's say you get married and you grow a family. If your family's growing, your health risks may increase, or the number of people who may be exposed to health risks may increase. So you may want to think about shifting your healthcare coverage over time. You're also thinking at that point, okay, how is my tax situation going to change? But then as you're moving into retirement, it's really no longer about accumulating wealth. Your focus is going to shift, and you're going to be thinking a little bit more about preserving your wealth to make sure that it lasts your lifetime. So your focus should shift from accumulating wealth to thinking about what are the risks that could cause me to run out of money. There's health risks, there's long-term care risks, inflation risk, but really all those risks in your retirement years kind of funnel down into this one overarching risk, which is longevity risk, or the risk of living so long that you run out of money. And then as you move deeper and deeper into retirement and you've been able to kind of manage those risks, at that point, it really just kind of comes down to thinking about the risks that may occur with your estate, or the risks that may even occur with the ones that you love after you've passed. And so as you're shifting later into retirement, yes, longevity risk and health risk and long-term care risk are certainly should definitely be top of mind, but you also want to think about how can you safely give and invest your wealth for future generations to understand how you can mitigate some of the risks that they may be exposed to after you pass away.
Okay, so a lot of considerations here, and of course, we do encourage our clients to have these conversations ongoing with their UBS financial advisor. As we begin to close out our conversation for this episode, let's gather some final thoughts and takeaways looking at how one's strategy should change over the course of time. I would love to hear both of your thoughts on this. Justin, let's begin with you.
So I'll focus on the investing side of the equation. Many of you may be familiar with a target date fund that you have in your 401k. The idea behind this type of fund is that you invest aggressively when you're younger and you have a long time horizon. And then this part of your investment portfolio gradually becomes more conservative as you shift towards the decumulation phase in retirement. And this type of strategy is an acknowledgement that if you have a long time horizon, markets have a very good probability of generating a gain. And if you have a short time horizon, the probability of a loss becomes a little bit more of a risk. And so that's a very natural way to think about changing your investment strategy over time. However, there's a third consideration, I believe, for how you should think about wealth as you go into retirement. And that is, if you have enough assets to cover your spending comfortably for the rest of your own life, there may be a part of your portfolio that you can allocate to either philanthropic needs or for the next generations of your family. And so in those situations, you actually have an even longer time horizon for those assets if you're not planning to give while you're alive. And that part of your portfolio may actually become a bigger share of your wealth as you go through retirement and spend down the assets that you needed to fund your own lifetime spending. So in our view, this is following the UBS Wealthway framework of liquidity, longevity, and legacy. You should essentially have a very high equity allocation throughout most of your working life because you're insulated from market risk, not only by time, but also by the fact that you're adding to your portfolios. So any drawdowns in the market may actually enhance the amount of wealth that you have in retirement. And then within 3 to 5 years of entering retirement and starting to turn off your paychecks, you should begin to build a liquidity strategy that is invested in cash and high-quality bonds to help protect the spending that you're going to be taking out of your portfolio in retirement. And so at that point, your allocation of bonds and cash will go up a little bit. And then as you move later into retirement, you're more comfortable, you're more confident about what your spending needs are and that you have enough wealth to cover your lifetime spending, and you've addressed the risk of outliving your wealth, there's going to be a large and growing share of your wealth that's allocated to the legacy strategy, which is wealth that goes beyond your own lifetime. And in this portfolio, you can also invest this just like you did when you were younger. You may be able to invest this in a very, very high allocation to stocks. And so your stock allocation in retirement may dip at the beginning of retirement, but then actually go higher through the end of your life because a greater and greater share of your wealth will be invested in that legacy strategy for the next generation.
Now, Ainsley, to hear your final thoughts, how should we be thinking about one strategy changing over time?
So in addition to the investing changes that Justin had mentioned, you should also definitely make a few other changes over time. For example, like we were talking about earlier, in your working years, your earnings potential might be your largest asset, because if you lose income, you're not going to be able to not only meet your needs today, but you'll need to figure out how to save for the future. So this is really where disability insurance and life insurance can be particularly helpful. Now, there are many different types of disability and life insurance, and not every single type of coverage is going to be appropriate for you. So this is really where it kind of comes back to doing that analysis, understanding the risk, the type of risk, and the circumstances in which risk might be particularly harmful to your situation. You need to be able to do that analysis in order to understand the different types of disability and life insurance that will be helpful to you. Also, during your working years, like I had said, as your family is growing, your health risks may change, and so you may want to consider shifting your health insurance to accommodate a larger family. Also, throughout your working years, your financial goals may change, and also as you're earning more, your tax situation may change. Taxes are certainly a huge part of a financial plan, because the more taxes that you pay, that means you have less wealth to spend and less wealth to give to others. So you may want to consider changing where you're saving or the different types of accounts that you should be adding to your savings. And so with that in mind, we do have the savings waterfall, which you can look at, which kind of just helps you prioritize your dollars into the different types of accounts so that you can improve your after-tax wealth potential. Then as you're nearing retirement, you definitely want to start thinking more about managing the new risks that may be present. For instance, for retirees, health and personal needs may change over time. So health risks become more prominent, and then also the, not necessarily health, but personal related needs may become more prominent. So you may want to think about how your health insurance coverage should shift, and maybe are you going to be in need of long-term care over time? Longevity risk is a top concern for retirees. So annuities, which can provide income for your lifetime, can definitely be very helpful when trying to make sure you can meet your spending needs over your lifetime, no matter really how long you live. Now, I do want to just mention, I don't think I mentioned this earlier, but in terms of long-term care needs, I want to make sure that it's clear that when I say long-term care, I'm not talking about long-term care insurance. I'm talking about just sitting down and doing an analysis to understand the impact that the potential for having long-term care costs could have on your financial plan. Once you do that analysis and you understand the risk of that, the potential for incurring long-term care costs, that's when you can kind of understand the different types of strategies that you may have access to that would be helpful to address that risk. So like I said, we're not talking specifically about long-term care insurance. It's definitely one strategy that you could implement to address the risk of needing long-term care, but it's just one strategy of many that you could include. And then I know we mentioned a lot. There's definitely a lot to be aware of, and it can be definitely nearly impossible to address all the risks in one setting. So I just wanted to mention, we recommend following our Seasons of Planning series. With this series, we cover just a few planning topics each season. And the purpose of covering just a few topics each season is that it's just going to help the planning process become a little bit easier to approach, a little bit more digestible. It'll just help to make sure that you're reviewing and updating your planning throughout the year, and can help make the process a little bit easier to address over time and a little bit less overwhelming.
Well, Ainsley and Justin, thank you both for dropping by UBS Conversations as we commenced this new podcast series, Three Levels. You both provided our listeners, our clients, with valuable insight into the topic of risk. And as Ainsley and Justin alluded to, too, I do encourage our listeners, especially our clients of UBS, to reference the written work of Ainsley, Justin, and the broader team. It can be located on ubs.com/CIO. Of course, for clients of UBS, simply reach out to your UBS financial advisor if you would like to learn more about the written research from Justin Ainsley and the entire team from CIO. Though, Ainsley, Justin, thank you both again for dropping by, and do look forward to picking back up with our conversation next month.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you, Dan.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.